Please open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 29, verse number 3, where we'll get started with our verse-by-verse journey through God's Word in just a few moments. First, let's talk about changing leadership. When we were looking at things yesterday, King Ahaz, the wicked leader of the southern kingdom of Judah, had died. And his son, who had been his crown prince for several years, Hezekiah, came to the throne in Judah. And this is all very good because Hezekiah is a righteous man, a revivalist king. In fact, we read how he is described as the greatest of all the kings of Judah. Now, something else happened in that year, 727 BC. Tiglath-Pileser III, who was the founding leader of the Neo-Assyrian Empire, also died. And his crown prince, his son, Shalmaneser V, began to reign as the king of Assyria. And he will be the one that God will use to discipline much of the Middle East, particularly the northern kingdom of Israel, that will go into Assyrian exile under Shalmaneser V. So I want us to now look at how things changed dramatically in the southern kingdom of Judah under the leadership of this righteous king, Hezekiah. 2 Chronicles 29:3, in the first year of his reign, and I think we're talking about 726 BC here, his father probably passed away in the winter months of 727 going into 726. And the events that we're reading about happen at the very beginning of 726 BC on the Jewish calendar. That is in the spring of that year. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of he who is and repaired them. So we're going to find out that his father, Ahaz, had done damage to the temple complex and had apparently, toward the end of his life, even shut down the normal worship procedures inside God's holy temple. So Hezekiah immediately reverses that. Verse 4, he brought in the priests and the Levites and assembled them in the square on the east. So that would be the eastern forecourt for the temple complex, out past the altar that's been put there by his father Ahaz, the altar that was designed to be like the altar of the Syrians. So out there in that region, east of the temple shrine building, he assembles all the priests and Levites. And he said to them, "Hear me, Levites. Now consecrate yourselves," that is, make yourselves holy. Make yourselves appropriate to do the work of God. "And consecrate the house of he who is the God of your fathers, and carry out the filth from the holy place." So he gives them the task to reverse all of the abominable things done to the temple complex under his father Ahaz. Verse 6, he says, "For our fathers," so it's not just Ahaz, it has also been many of the others in leadership with Ahaz that did these things. "For our fathers have been unfaithful and have done what was evil in the sight of he who is our God. They have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of he who is and turned their backs. They also shut the doors of the vestibule and put out the lamps and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel." So this is where we find out the temple has pretty much been shut down for its operations by King Ahaz and his associates. Even the menorahs. There was one original menorah that Moses designed and brought through the tabernacle. But when Solomon, at the director of the Holy Spirit through his father David, designed 10 menorahs or 10 lamps for the temple, they were kept going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in the temple until this happened, Ahaz. And then the lamps were put out and the daily offerings were not happening. Now, how many years that happened, we don't know for sure. Not very many, maybe a handful. But now Hezekiah is turning all of that around. But listen to how he blames the actions of his father and others for God's judgment. Therefore, the wrath of He Who Is came on Judah and Jerusalem, and He has made them an object of horror, of astonishment, and of hissing, as you see with your own eyes. For behold, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. There had been several incursions into Judean territory underneath Ahaz, and people had been killed and taken captive. And so Hezekiah is saying, that's all because my father and all his people got off track with their relationship with God. Verse 10, now it is in my heart to make a covenant with He Who Is the God of Israel, in order that His fierce anger may turn away from us. So he says, I propose a reinstatement of our covenant relationship. Verse 11, my sons, do not be negligent, for He Who Is has chosen you to stand in His presence, to minister to Him, and to be His ministers, and to make offerings to Him. So he addresses probably the younger set of the priests and Levites and encourages them, you need to get in here and make things right so that we can start fresh with God. So what do they do? Verse 12, then the Levites arose. Mahat, the son of Amasai, Yoel, the son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites. The Kohathites were one of the three divisions of the Levitical family. And of the sons of Merari, that's another one, Kish, the son of Abdi, and Azariah, the son of Jehalelel, and of the Gershonites, that's the third family, Yoah, the son of Zimma, and Edan, the son of Yoah, and of the sons of Elzaphan. Now, this is a subgroup within one of these families. Shimri and Yahul, the sons of Asaph, Zechri and Mataniah. By the way, these subgroups seem to be the musical Levites. And of the sons of Heman, Yahul and Shimei, and of the sons of Jeduthun, Shimei and Uziel. They gathered their brothers, and they consecrated themselves, and they went in as the king had commanded by the words of He Who Is, to cleanse the house of He Who Is. Now, this is the first time in this context we find out that Hezekiah is following God's word in order to redeem the nation of Judah out of this time of sin that his father had led in. Book of Deuteronomy actually talked about how there would be times in the future that the people would sin. And what were they supposed to do? They were to call upon God at His sanctuary, and they were to repent. They were to humble themselves, and they were to seek His face, and then He would heal their land. And so that's what Hezekiah is leading in. That's what these priests and Levites are going to take very aggressive leadership in. They're going to clean the physical house of God, that is the temple area, the shrine and the courtyard complexes around it. And then they're also going to cleanse the house of the Lord, which would be the people. Verse 16, the priests went into the inner part of the house of he who is to clean it, to cleanse it, and they brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of he who is into the court of the house of he who is. And then the Levites took it and carried it out to the brook Kidron. Now, what are they taking out? My guess is they are taking out little idols and anything else that was associated with any type of Ahaz worship during his time on the throne. And so where are they going to do? They're going to take it first out of the building, sort through it, decide what might be able to be cleansed and used properly. The rest of it is going to be taken to a dump and disposed of, either broken to pieces or melted down or buried. And so they took it to the brook Kidron, which is the drainage valley between the city of Jerusalem on the west and the Mount of Olives on the east. Verse 17, they began to consecrate on the first day of the first month. So they started at the new year. And on the eighth day of the month, they came to the vestibule of he who is. So they started at the interior and worked their way outward till they got to the entry point for the shrine building on the eighth day. Then for eight more days, they consecrated the house of the Lord. And on the 16th day of the first month, they finished. So it took them a total of 16 days to get all of the junk out of there, all of the unclean items out of there, and to put everything back the way it's supposed to be. Which means, by the way, they've missed Passover this year because they've not been able to set aside and sacrifice the Passover lambs on the appropriate days. We'll come back to that in a little bit. Verse 18, then they went in to Hezekiah the king and said, we've cleansed all the house of he who is, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the table for the showbread and all its utensils, all the utensils that King Ahaz discarded in his reign when he was faithless, we have made ready and consecrated, and behold, they are before the altar of he who is. So their report is, sir, your majesty, we have reversed all the damage done by your father. Everything is now ready to be rededicated for its proper use. Verse 20. Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the officials of the city and went up to the house of he who is. And they brought seven bulls, seven rams, seven lambs, and seven male goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. So Hezekiah is taking the leadership in providing the sacrifices, symbolically seven of each type of sacrificial animal, that are going to be offered on behalf of all of Israel, not just southern Judah, but all of Israel, for the temple complex itself and for the kingdom of Judah. And he's going to direct the priests to go through the rededication ceremony. He commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of he who is. And they slaughtered the bulls, and the priest received the blood and threw it against the altar. And they slaughtered the rams, and their blood was thrown against the altar. And they slaughtered the lambs, and their blood was thrown against the altar. And then the goats for the sin offering were brought to the king and the assembly, and they laid their hands on them. See, they're praying for God's forgiveness for their families being involved in this rebellion against God. They are taking this opportunity to start fresh as leadership to the nation. And so after they've laid their hands on these sacrifices, the priests slaughtered them and made a sin offering with their blood on the altar to make atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. I'm emphasizing that because of something he's going to do in a little bit that I think is misunderstood by a lot of people because they put this event too late in the chronology. Verse 25, he stationed the Levites in the house of he who is with cymbals, harps, and lyres, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and of Nathan, the prophet, for the commandment was for he who is through his prophets. See, we're going all the way back to the beginning of the temple design. David, being led by the Holy Spirit through Gad and Nathan, came up with the design for the actual building and complex, as well as for the organization of the ceremonies. And even the musical instruments and the music to be used, all of that started with David, Gad, and Nathan. And so they're going back to the roots of temple worship here. Verse 26, the Levites stood with the instruments of David and the priests with the trumpets. And that would be historically interesting to me, because that means they're using David's specifically designed instruments for this temple building, alongside at least some of the silver trumpets that Moses, at God's direction, made or had made back at the beginning of the Exodus when the tabernacle was built. So they've got things that go all the way back to the time of Moses being used in this rededication ceremony, and certainly all the way back to David. Verse 27, then Hezekiah commanded that the burnt offerings be offered on the altar. And when the burnt offerings began, the song to he who is began also, and the trumpets, accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. The whole assembly worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when the offering was finished, the king and all who were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. And then Hezekiah the king and the officials commanded the Levites to sing praises to he who is with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed down and they worshiped. So they've got all of this repentance and the confession of national sin and repentance leading to a recommitment on behalf of the entire nation, and the praising and the singing and the music. It was an amazing event. Verse 31, then Hezekiah said, you have now consecrated yourselves to he who is. Come near, bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the house of he who is. And the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all who were of a willing heart brought burnt offerings. So they've rededicated the building. And on this new cycle of worship, David invites everyone to bring something in order to kick off their recommitment to God. And this is how much was brought in. The number of the burnt offerings that the assembly brought was 70 bulls, 100 rams, and 200 lambs. All these were for burnt offerings to he who is. And the consecrated offerings were 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep. So there's a lot of fresh starts happening here. Family groups, larger family groups, and then the smaller family groups are all bringing something in order to say, we are sorry for what has happened. We want to start over again. And this overwhelmed the priests who were trying to butcher and burn up all of these sacrifices on this day. Verse 34, and the priests were too few and could not flay all the burnt offerings, So until other priests had consecrated themselves, their brothers, the Levites, helped them until the work was finished. For the Levites were more upright in heart than the priests in consecrating themselves. So apparently, there were a lot more Levites on board with this restart than there were priests. And so the Levites jumped in and actually helped do a lot of the heavy lifting of butchering these animals, so that the priests could then take the requisite parts up and burn them on the altar. Verse 35, besides the great number of burnt offerings, there was the fat of peace offerings, there were drink offerings for the burnt offerings, and thus the service of the house of He Who Is was restored. And Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced because God had prepared for the people, for the thing came about suddenly. Now, it came about suddenly because Ahaz died probably a matter of days before Hezekiah said, this is what I want done. And the new year kicks off with all of this very involved rededication of the temple. But, as I said, they missed Passover this year because the temple was not yet cleansed and dedicated for service when the 14th day of the first Jewish month came around. So they are going to invoke that part of the Mosaic law that allows them to do a secondary Passover in the second month. And Hezekiah decides that everyone of the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, through Jacob should be invited to join in with this rededication. So chapter number 30, Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh. So all Israel, meaning northern Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh, making it very clear we're talking about all of northern Israel, both sides of the Jordan River, that they should come to the house of He Who Is at Jerusalem to keep the Passover to He Who Is, the God of Israel. For the king and his princes and all the assembly in Jerusalem had taken counsel to keep the Passover in the second month, for they could not keep it at the time because the priests had not consecrated themselves in sufficient number, nor had the people assembled in Jerusalem. And the plan seemed right to the king and all the assembly. So they decreed to make a proclamation throughout all Israel, emphasis, all Israel, from Beersheba, that's the southern town that we usually think of southern Judah, to Dan, which is the northern town up in northern Israel, that the people should come and keep the Passover to He Who Is, the God of Israel, at Jerusalem, for they had not kept it as often as prescribed. So a lot of chronologists have put this great Passover of the first year of King Hezekiah after the time that northern Israel went into exile. And I don't see how that works with this component. My chronology just so happens to work out that the first year of Hezekiah is only 2 years, three inclusive years, before the start of the siege of Samaria. Actually, two inclusive years before the siege of Samaria. So I see this as God, through Hezekiah, giving everyone in the northern kingdom of Israel one more chance to repent and come back to Him before the hammer of judgment is dropped through Shalmaneser V. Verse number 6. So couriers went throughout all Israel and Judah with letters from the king and his princes, as the king had commanded, saying, O people of Israel, return to He Who Is, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that He may turn again to the remnant of you who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria. Remember that already the Assyrians have been pushing down into Israeli territory and over the last couple of generations taken people into exile early. And the prophets are warning there's more yet to come. So Hezekiah is pleading with the people of the northern kingdom, please, please, please make things right with God now. Verse 7, do not be like your fathers and your brothers who were faithless to he who is God of their fathers, so that he made them a desolation as you see. Do not now be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to he who is, and come to his sanctuary, which he has consecrated forever, and serve he who is your God, that his fierce anger may turn away from you. So he's begging them, come to this Passover at Jerusalem's temple, so that God can forgive you of your sins. Verse 9, for if you return to he who is, your brothers and your children will find compassion with their captors and return to this land. For he who is your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him. So the appeal is, Northern Israel, you are part of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's heritage. You are part of the kingdom of united Israel. And you need to repent of your sins and come back to the temple at Jerusalem and appeal to God to forgive you. And when you do, he will be compassionate because he wants to be compassionate. And he will deal gently with those that have already gone into exile and those that are yet going into exile. So Hezekiah is begging them. And this is how they're responded to. So the couriers went from city to city throughout the country of Ephraim and Manasseh and as far as Zebulun. That's clear up north of the Sea of Galilee. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. So the majority response to this offer for repentance is mockery.